And it's an interesting thing. You know, there is people that are called to be pretty much full-time intercessors, and they spend most of their time praying. But all of us have been called to intercessory prayer. You know, we may not have that ministry, but all of us have been called to intercessory prayer. Here's the thing. Every time you pray for somebody, you intercede for them. It's that simple. Now, God may ask you to pray for the same person. He may have that guy on your heart for a month. And he's asking you to specifically pray for that person. And that's an honor that we get asked to do that. When the same person keeps crossing your mind, keeps crossing your heart, pray for him. Here's the thing. People get confused about intercessory prayer. You don't have to sit there and ramble on for 2 or 3 hours. You can pray for that person, you know, for 2 or 3 minutes. You can do that 5 or 6 times a day. You know, you don't have to sit there. Just because it's intercessory prayer, that doesn't mean that you have to spend 2 or 3 hours in your war room praying for that person. The Holy Spirit is continually looking all over the land, searching for intercessors. I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The gap. The gap, that's God's appointed place. That's God's appointed place. What God is asking people to do is to get in between the people and the trouble that they're headed for. That's the gap. Get in between the people and the trouble that they're headed for. It could be your kids, it could be your loved one, it could be your friend, it could be your politicians. It could be any number of people that God may cross your path with. You may not even really know them, but he may ask you to pray for them. You know, it's... God will lay people on your heart. And he just wants you to get in the gap. That means get in between the trouble they're headed for and them, and try to get that thing averted. That doesn't necessarily mean that you go... He may give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge about the particular situation. But that doesn't mean that you go talk to somebody else about it. It doesn't even mean that you go talk to them. It just means that you pray for them. Now, if God tells you specifically to go talk to them, then you go talk to them. But very rarely does he ever tell you to talk about them. Why is intercessory prayer so important? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This one gets spouted around a lot. You see it on billboards, you see it in different events. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now notice he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So he's talking about us. He's talking about, we're called by his name, are we not? So he's talking about us. If we would humble ourselves and pray. The minute you pray, you've already humbled yourself. The minute you start to seek God and pray, you've already humbled yourself. You don't have to go through any self-torture. You don't have to do anything else. The minute you turn to God, you've admitted and said, I need help. You are God, and you are the only one that can handle this situation. I mean, you've taken up true Bible humility. You've humbled yourselves and you begin to pray. He said that he would heal your land. This land needs a lot of healing. This land needs a lot of healing. But there's a lot of people that have been praying for this land. And we're seeing a lot of changes. We see a lot of crazy stuff. But there's a lot of changes, a lot of positive changes that are taking place right now. I mean, you can't look at Biden and see these positive changes. You know, whatever you see in Washington is just nuts. Them people are absolutely crazy. But there's 20 of them in there that are not nuts. We got 20 new House representatives in there that are not crazy. And they're making a difference. They're making a difference. Our job is to keep on praying. Without intercessory prayer, the kingdom of God would be severely hampered. In many instances, God's perfect will would not be moved from heaven to earth without the intercession of his people. We must remember that God has sovereignly chosen to move on earth in answer to believing prayer. Prayer is the generator for all other Christian activity. See, this is so important to understand, because there's a false teaching going around. You know, something will happen to somebody and people won't understand just exactly why this person died or why this baby died. And some preacher will say, well, God is sovereign. And they almost make it sound like it was God's will for this person to die. God is sovereign. Make no doubt about that. He is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he gave you authority on this earth. He freely gave that authority to us. This country is in a mess. A big mess. We have to understand that we allowed this country to get in a mess. Not God. He gave us his perfect will right here in this Bible. And for a long, long time, the church congregation has been sitting in the pews wondering why somebody doesn't do something. Well, they were doing something. They were doing whatever they felt like they wanted to do in Washington, D.C. And then the church would gripe about it a little bit. But now the church is starting to stand up. They're starting to see that things aren't right. and they're praying, and things are changing. It's still upsetting to me how, you know, we understand we have political divides. You know, they talk about party lines. Do you know the church follows those party lines, what they call the church? 50%. The amount of Christians that just don't vote, or the amount of churchgoers that just don't vote, is crazy. I just can't even imagine how a believer could vote Democrat. See, and here's the thing. This is one of the problems I have, one of the beefs I have with the IRS and the government is back in the day they had this thing called the Black Robe Society, you know, where people would come together and the preachers would say, look, these guys are doing wrong. They would flat out tell them they were doing wrong. They weren't following biblical lines in government. So then the people would not vote for that person. Well, then they passed a law saying that preachers were not allowed to talk about anything political in the churches. They said they could even throw you in jail for that. So then most of the pastors in the country just stopped talking about what was going on. They refused to talk about what's right and what's wrong. That's a shame. And then they attack their Second Amendment rights and don't let them put any political signs in their yards. That's your first, that's your freedom of speech they take away. All so that we could be a 501c3. And the IRS says, well, you have to have that so you can be tax exempt. Well, according to the Constitution, churches are already tax exempt. But we still bow our knee to the IRS so that we can have a 501c3. Do you see how foolish that is? That's nonsense. God has given us these rights, these freedoms. They're God-given, not by a man. They're God-given. Our job is to keep praying that the church world would wake up, that the nation would wake up. And now we are in a great awakening right now. There's some people that are waking up and they're starting to see that things aren't right. Keep praying. Now here's an interesting thing about Jesus. He's an intercessory prayer. Did you know that? Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The minute you get born again, you've got the greatest intercessory prayer that has ever lived. And his name is Jesus. The Bible tells us that he is constantly making intercessory prayer for us. He says he lives to make intercessory prayer for us. Our Lord Jesus is constantly interceding for us. We can know that intercession is a ministry near to God's heart, because it is what our Lord Jesus is constantly doing at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us. As we enter into intercessory prayer, we are joining the only fully trustworthy intercessor for mankind and getting in on what he is currently doing. What dignity that gives to you. When you come into intercessory prayer for someone, you've just come into perfect agreement with Jesus. He's already praying for them. Now, you may wonder, what in part is intercessory prayer? You know, the children of Israel were in a big bind out in the wilderness. And God was about done with them. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 30, it shows us where Moses actually stood in the gap between God and the people. He interceded for them. God came down to earth. These angels came down to earth and they were going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham went out there and said, wait a minute. What if there's 20 righteous people there? They said, well, if there's 20, we won't wipe it out. He said, well, what if there's only 10? And he kept going down in number. And he said, well, what if there's only 5? Well, if there's only 5 righteous people there, we won't wipe it out. I believe if Abraham would have said, what if there's only 1 righteous soul? I think God would have not wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah for the 1 righteous soul. But God did let the 1 righteous soul get out. He let his wife get out and 2 daughters. Let them escape, but the wife evidently looked back and got turned to a pillar of salt. Did you know Lot was a righteous man? You know, he was a righteous man. But he was just living from one near miss to the next. Where Abraham was a righteous man who was conquering kings, expanding his herds and flocks. But Lot was still a righteous man. He got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Our job is to be willing. That's the only key to stepping across the threshold into intercessory prayer, is to be willing. You don't have to be a hotshot prayer warrior to enter into intercession. Remember, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Jesus, the intercessor, is at the right hand of God, validating our prayers when we pray in His name. His grace is sufficient and abundant. He has enough to meet every need every time. Remember in John chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John chapter 14, verse 12, 13, 14 tells us that if ye shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. We don't have to have a whole bunch of Bible memorized. We don't have to have a whole bunch of verses memorized. We don't even have to know the addresses. And you don't even have to get the whole scripture perfect. There's so much pressure put on people to be perfect in all these things. You got to know the address. You got to know the whole scripture. You got to know this. You got to know that. Jesus said, use my name. You just ask in my name and I'll do it. I know a lady that had a stroke and all she could come up with was, the only word she could get spit out of her mouth was covenant. And God healed her. God healed her so much to the point that she went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh my God, you had a stroke. She said, I know. And he said, it was a bad one. She said, yeah, I know. He said, but you're doing okay. She said, I know. Because it was a hard enough hit that he was looking at her like she was supposed to be on a gurney. And she went walking in there. All she could say was covenant. She didn't have to have a verse. She didn't have to have five verses. She didn't even have to come up with an address. All she said was covenant. God honors His word. It's His word coming out of our mouth that He's looking for. Not perfection. Remember, His grace is more than enough to meet the need. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it talks about us praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we pray in the Spirit, we may pray both in our native language and in tongues as the Spirit leads. But it's up to us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now this is absolutely important, because this is a thing that runs rampant in the church world. And it borderline witchcraft. But it happens all the time. It says, we must not pray what we think another needs, nor attempt to pray our will off on another. That's a huge no-no. It's amazing to me how many people think they know what somebody else should be doing. And then they'll pray, and they'll get friends of theirs to pray, try to pray their will off on that person. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible for us to do that. I remember one time a lady come up to me, she said, I have been praying for you and praying for you and praying for you, and I have a vision that you're going to be at some kind of a youth camp taking care of youth. And I thought, and I looked at her and I thought, well, it seems like God would have told me something about that. You know, we just covered those prayers in Ephesians. When we don't know what to pray for somebody, and usually we really don't know what to pray for somebody unless they need, you know, if they're sick, they need healing. We know we've got to pray healing for them. You know, if they need finances, then we know we got to pray finances for them. But most normally, we really don't know exactly what somebody else needs. But God covered it in the prayers in Ephesians. What would be wrong with praying for somebody to have the fullness of God? What would be wrong for them to end up with the spirit of wisdom and revelation? What would be wrong with that? I mean, if they got that, everything else is going to come in line. There's too many people trying to pray their idea off on other people. Why don't we pray God's idea for them? He gave it to us in Ephesians. He wrote them prayers down. I taught that specifically for a reason. So we know how to pray for somebody else. That's how we intercede for somebody. Those prayers don't take a minute to pray. But it's the Word of God, and we're just following His directions. We can have confidence because it's His will. We know He's going to hear us. Why don't we just pray His will for somebody else instead of our will? I mean, if you think about it, who knows more about this person, you or God? Who knows more about what this person needs, you or God? Who knows more about what this person needs to do, you or God? And just put it in perspective. Well, we're not going to be able to get to the rest of this today because this gets a lot deeper. You can get into more prolonged intercession for people. And most normally, you're just praying for God to intercede in their lives. You know, I told you the story about my friend. I prayed for him, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for him. Prayed for him to get saved. I prayed for him to get clean. I had absolutely no idea him being a pastor. Never even crossed my mind. I wouldn't have picked him out of the litter, but I suppose nobody would have picked me out of the litter either. But somebody prayed for me, and guess where I ended up? Well, I just paid it forward, and I prayed for him. I know there was other people praying for him. It wasn't just me, but it was a collective bunch of people. I don't know who all was praying for him, but I know there was other people praying for him, and there was intercessors. There were probably intercessors in Africa and Australia and wherever else praying in tongues. God would have somebody specifically pray in tongues they may not have had any idea. And all of a sudden, this guy gets clean, he gets born again. I got back in contact with him on Facebook, and I seen him, he was pretty dressed up for him, and I said, you know, you look like a pastor. And he said, I am. That's cool. That's cool. We don't have any idea what God's design for another human being is. We just don't. And too many times, parents try to pray their will off on their kids, and it just makes their kids miserable. Sometimes kids actually go follow along with what their parents may demand of them, and they just have a miserable life. They're not doing what they're designed to do. You know, in America, we have this thing, you can do whatever you want to do. That's the devil. That's the devil. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You won't have true fulfillment, you won't have true joy until you actually do what God has designed you to do. You know, we all want people to be successful. Parents want their kids to be successful. The most successful that a person can be is being what God designed him to do. Have you heard of Laterno equipment? Huge, huge. This is a huge company. They make huge, massive dirt moving machines. And that family, that guy's family, all of them had been missionaries forever. So he was kind of sitting around wondering where God was going to send him to be a missionary. And he didn't get called to be a missionary. But he had a creative spirit and a creative mind, and he started creating dirt-moving machinery that turned him into a billionaire. And then he had an open heart to God, and he ended up, he'd give 90% of his income into the mission field. Also, when he got that rich, it gave him the finances to go on missions anyway, which is where his heart was. But he'd go somewhere with a bunch of machinery, and he'd go build something for them, and then he'd leave the machinery there for them to go ahead and maintain what they had built. God had a design for him. And the picture that God had in his mind didn't match the picture that this guy had in his mind. But this guy went ahead and did what God wanted him to do, and it turned out way better than anything he could have come up with on his own. It's amazing to me how God does that. But here's the thing. What we see in reality may not be as glamorous and nice as what we had painted in our mind. You know? But we just follow God and let Him fix it the way it needs to be fixed. Sometimes it's a challenge. But if we'll just follow along and go and stay, it gets good and even better than that. Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and help us in our infirmities and show us how to pray. And we thank you for Jesus, our high priest, who is always making intercession for us, causing good things, right happenings to happen to us, because he has us in the right place at the right time. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.